Hello, welcome to The Dive. We have a quick little message here because, as you can see, we're in a new space and we're trying to figure out our new home for The Dive. So unfortunately for this episode, we have audio issues and they all happen to my mic. Apologies for how terrible and stupid I sound.
Sounds the same in real life.
The stupid is all audio issues. We're going to try and get those fixed, but apologies once again. Please enjoy the episode and we'll have it much better next time around. Thank you. Hello and welcome to The Dive Season 7, Episode 14, on the couch.
In our brand new dive space!
Just a little move, a little...
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, we got JoJo, we got 6A.
A little bit of favoritism, moving sticks.
I got the goat over here, you know, got double lift,
yeah.
Holding it down.
I bet my mid laner could beat your AD carry's ass.
I would agree, yeah, yeah. Double lift has not been doing a lot of beating ass.
He's lately. Trying, though.
He is trying.
What's the rest of the team doing?
Not much.
We'll get to that.
The ass beating on the team, he might be doing the most.
He is, yeah. I think that's fair.
It's not a ton, but there's, yeah. He's still doing some.
But he's trying.
Speaking of beating ass. There's a new League of Legends mode coming out. The 2v2v2 fighting mode,
the
guys.
Soul Fighter, yeah. They should rename it.
I think ass beating mode is better.
It's just called ass beaters.
Yeah.
Hey, Kobe, you want to queue up for some ass beaters?
Right, we've got a great title for this episode and thumbnail. I already got it cooking.
Yeah.
This is a great start, guys.
it's looking really hype, though. Like, the new Samira skin looks nuts. I'm really excited for, is it Nafiri?
I haven't heard it really pronounced.
But the new champ looks really, really cool. The 2v2v2 mode sounds really hype. Like, I loved all the different modes that they've actually done in the past. So I'm pretty excited just for something to come out. Because it's been, what, 3 years, 4 years, something like that, since we've actually had, like, a new game mode.
Yeah.
Nexus Blitz, I think, was the last one. And that was a long time ago. So it's been a while. I'm pretty excited, especially if it is, like, if they put a lot into it and it is actually a really fun, exciting mode, I think there could be a lot of potential to like want to play that with your friends, to be doing 2v2s against your buddies, to be even able to have that for like LCS content and like esports content. I think that would be hype.
Yeah, I've enjoyed pretty much every single alternate game mode that has come out. I've enjoyed for at least some amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And PvP ones you can usually enjoy longer than PvE, because after you beat it, then you've beaten it. And
yeah.
Nothing changes for PvE. Even though probably like the Star Guardian one, that was one of my absolute favorites. I enjoyed it so much. It's just the replayability is hard to hash out.
Yeah, that made me excited for like a PvE, just League of Legends mode at some point.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Full stop, like ARPG, like hell yeah, that'd be sick. But just with this mode, since they haven't given too many details yet, I am wondering like, what is the progression of the game? Like, what is the actual loop? Because it's 2v2v2v2. That's easy to understand. But, like,
yeah.
I assume you don't just load in at, like, level 11, fight once, and you're done, you know? So it's like,
yeah.
Obviously, there's going to be some sped up version of the core gameplay loop. I don't know if is there farming? Like, we don't really know.
I don't think so. Like, so like they've shown like some little clips and then there was some little stuff in an article. Like, my understanding is basically that it's 2v2v2. Like, there's 4 teams of 2. And you fight like one at a time, and then as you beat them, you like get upgrades or something like that. Because like they showed Garen like ulting one person and killing them, and then ulting the next person and killing them. So he probably got some sort of ultimate reset upgrade or something like that. Yeah. So
sounds like Battle Rite then.
Yeah, I guess
I loved Battle Rite.
Some sort of like progression, right? Right, where you beat someone,
rounds,
you upgrade,
yeah.
And you're like trying to progress to become the ultimate champion. I don't know if it's like you lose one, you're out, or you like play X
There's
and
a
out
Swiss format,
going.
GSL brackets.
I mean,
the winners play, the losers play.
The arena they showed kind of looked like a little Simon Says too. You know, you maybe got to play some, but
got to do what someone's doing in the middle, like keep the order.
If they dance, you got to dance.
It actually just has like 6 mini games. It's like Mario Party.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fun.
You know what? Let me get in there. Yeah.
It looked really cool though, and I've always enjoyed any type of like arena style combat too, so I have very high hopes for this.
Yep, I'm really excited. Should be pretty hype, and I think that's coming out pretty soon. This week? Next
yeah.
week? Yeah, pretty soon.
just stick with pretty soon.
It's out right now! Go check out your client. Don't listen to me, guys. It's not out.
Time's not linear anyway. It's fine.
Yeah. You'll watch this video 2 weeks from now on YouTube and it gets recommended, and then it will be out. for you people.
Genius.
True.
Saved.
All right, well, we're back with LCS. We're back, obviously, after the break. Everything got pushed back, and we are back now. There's been a lot of talk about, the LCS viewership has obviously been down. People are kind of bummed about it. We did get a tweet here from Arsh. Do you have it up?
Yeah, I have it up. I think we'll be doing at least one tweet for every team as well. Is this basically a community-driven episode?
Yep, got a bunch of questions, over 100 already.
Yeah, so since this is a big talking point, I think it's worth including. Arsh said, right now, LCS viewership is the worst it's ever had. Summer's peak is spring's average viewership. The 40K drop from spring to summer is the biggest drop between splits I can see from any region. It's not a question so much as a talking point. So I spend a lot of time looking at like esports charts. I don't know if you guys do, which is like the third party publicly available thing that seems the best at aggregating all co-streamers and stuff like that. And I think the average is around 65K. I'll check real quick to see if it's changed. But like, it's obviously not good, and I don't think anyone's going to try and pitch that. But I will give copium angles. So, for example, last summer when there was like the Mr. Beast thing, you know, and everyone was like, Doublelift was on stream, like LCS is dead, and it kicked off a whole conversation. Around that time period, the viewership was actually around like 80K-ish. So, you know, still substantially lower than where it actually ended, which was around like 124K on the publicly available data, which at least says and is intuitively like makes sense, is that like, people care about who makes Worlds the most in summer. And the regular season has like this kind of drop, and we're in an accelerated one, and it's weird to talk one-to-one, but like viewership rebounds heavily in playoffs in summer, harder than in spring, which is to say like it will go up again once we actually hit playoffs. Is it going to recover fully like the way it did last summer, arguably? No, probably not. There's still a general downwards trend. There's a lot of problems, which we'll probably touch on a little bit in here, but like it is dangerous, I would say, to just take the first couple weeks as like this is where it's at, because that's exactly what some people were doing last year, and then it, you know, got 40K more average by the end of summer playoffs. That's not peak. That's AMA that I'm talking about, when it was at 80 and then it got up to 125 by the end, basically.
Yeah. I mean, my hope is that, you know, partially this is because people don't really know what's going on. I know there was like a lot of talk about people didn't even realize that it was on Wednesdays anymore, which was potentially hurting
it. The two-week delay
was really confusing to a lot of people. Some people I talked to, you know, thought that the whole split was actually canceled when they heard about the walkout and things like that. I know I've seen some people talk about how Fridays is significantly higher than Wednesdays, so maybe it just needs some more, like, you know, people need to actually spread that it's actually on and whatnot.
Well, or just Wednesday is not as good of a viewership day, and since you have a compressed schedule and you're forced onto Wednesdays and they're just maybe not a good viewership day, you get artificially stepped down viewership in general from those days.
But either way, you know, I will say, like, I am still really happy with a lot of the things that are going on in LCS. Obviously, no one's going to be pleased about viewership going down. We're all concerned about it too. We're all bummed out about it too. But I think LCS content has been really, really good. Like, I actually think that Are You Smarter Than? If you guys haven't watched it, you absolutely need to go watch that show. I think it is really, really funny. It was fun to be a part of it. And to me, like, am I unbiased? I don't know. You can say whatever. But this is the most entertaining league content, I think, from any league right now. I think Are You Smarter Than is really, really good. The Static Shiv commercial that we just did recently, I think, was hilarious. There's like a lot of stuff that LCS is putting out that I'm actually really proud of, and I think is really good, funny content. So there's a lot of stuff that I've been enjoying, and I even see that in the comments and stuff for all this content, is that people are really, really liking the content. So I would encourage you guys, if you are, you know, looking for those positives and you haven't checked it out, definitely go check out some of the LCS content, because there's a lot of really good stuff that they've been pumping out. Mark, you know, you obviously are deserving of credit. You've been coming up with some cool ideas, but I think a lot of people have been, you know, a lot of talent have been trying to pitch things and trying to really come up with things and make sure everyone's doing their part to try to make the show as good as we can.
Yeah, I think players are doing a lot of stuff too. We've made a lot more requests this year with players, and they've been pretty accommodating pretty much across the board about doing stuff like casting or like hanging around. We have a lot of stuff we filmed that's, I'm just going to leak it. You know what, my bosses can get mad at me. We filmed a lot of 1v1 content that's going to come out, as well as Scion Speedway is making a return in some capacity. It's been augmented. There's a lot more stuff stapled onto it to make it, I think, fun. But there's like a ton of those that we recorded that will be coming out. And like, we're just always, after the game ends, like grabbing a pro and filming something. And so like, not all of them are going to hit, but like, I think we're doing a lot more interesting stuff than when it was just like post-game analysis, commercial, pre-game, go.
I think specifically, we have a lot more stuff with pros highlighted and pros being at the center of it.
Yep, in 2 weeks, I guess, and, with Huhi and Fudge just in the last couple of weeks.
And we have some good, like decently high budget stuff coming up as well, like well-produced things. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, the most high-budget, well-produced thing that is going to be coming up is we have a Dive TriCast.
Yeah, we're doing that this week.
Yeah, That's coming up this week, and I'm play-by-play.
What game do we have? Yeah. It's on our birthday.
Dig TSM, yeah. I think.
June 29th. Oh! Is this coming...
That's why we're doing it.
Yeah.
You didn't know?
So, I didn't
know
it was about him. He's like, I'm doing play-by-play.
No. I am doing play-by-play, baby. Let's go.
No. I mean, you are, which is sick. But the joke was that, like, for our birthday, we were requesting that you do play-by-play so we can cast a game as the Dive.
That's so funny. No one even told me that part.
Well, if you knew your coworkers better, like, you probably would just know it. Yeah, you know, generally, you just know people's birthday without them having to come up and be like, hey, that's it's cool. My birthday, by the way. Yeah. What are you getting me?
Yeah. Well, I'm getting you my play-by-play.
I'm excited.
Happy birthday.
Well, I forget what I can pull.
Yeah, he also hasn't practiced that at all yet, so he's
getting. Well, I played other games a whole bunch. I'm gonna be a natural.
It's gonna
I'm
be
just
fun.
Gonna slide right in there.
I have enjoyed the times where due to like technical difficulties, I've had to step in for play-by-play. Yeah. Like, you know, when we were doing Worlds Remote or whatever, and Freak's audio stuff actually went out, and we were COVID-separated in the other room.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was just me for, like, 10 minutes. It ends up being
fun. Yeah.
But you had to do a whole game.
And I'm excited.
It's our birthday, so don't mess it up.
I'm not going to mess it up. I'll go home. I'll practice. I'll be a good boy. You know, when I came into LCS, I actually wanted to do play-by-play.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had cast a lot in other games, and that's more like the role that I had been in. But they need color casters, and like you're an ex-pro, you should be doing color casting. So now it's my time to shine.
I miss the old Sir Scoots emote whenever you're on camera from the...
My turn to talk.
Yeah, my turn to talk. Yeah.
Yeah. So... You're actually casting three games on Thursday.
Yeah.
And these are all subject to
change. Yeah, but who cares about those other games?
Yeah,
the only game that matters is ours.
You with Captain Flowers, where he's play-by-playing. And then we're booting Captain Flowers out for Kobe and I to come in. And we're casting the best game of the week, Dig versus TSM.
Oh, it's going to be a banger.
Banger.
Let's go. I'm actually really excited. It's going to be
actually,
fun.
They are middle-of-the-pack teams right now fighting for, like, you know, like it's actually a good game. If you told me I was getting this game at the start of the split, I'd be like, fuck. But now I'm actually pretty excited because I'm a huge Rich fan. Yeah. Well, I just thought they wouldn't be good. I thought this would have been a battle for like 9th, 10th, you know, and now it's actually like.
You know what the real tragedy will be? If it's like one of those games, it's like after 8 years of LCS, you finally get to do a play-by-play game and there's just like no fights. It's just like a full like macro game, bloodless, nothing happens.
There's no way that they don't fight. So that's something that I'm, you know, is really good about these two teams. There's definitely going to be some action.
Yeah.
That one's going to be fun. I'm really excited for that. That's going to be Thursday. It's third game of the day on Thursday. So don't miss it. If you like to Dive, you got to
tune in.
Make it
the highest. Speaking of viewership, make it the highest viewed game.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I want
you all to do is like, like, when you go to Esports Search, it says, like, the most popular game that played, and they'll say the teams that played. It's going to be Dig versus TSM, and everyone's going to be like, why was week 3, day 2, Dig versus TSM the most watched game this split? This is why
it's because
now.
Of you, loyal Dive viewer, tuning in for what is sure to be a game of League of Legends. All right, so that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. Let's jump into some recap. So we got questions for every single team. I know some people were. Cloud9 was suffering from success last week
because we started at the top.
We didn't talk about them as much because
you got some angry tweets about like
they're like they weren't angry though.
They were mostly like, "Where's the Cloud9 talk?
We're just too damn good. Nothing to say." So we got a couple tweets here. Which one do you want to hit, Mark?
I'll pull up the first one, which is from Neenx, NEENX underscore lol. Now that we are one third of the way through the summer, what are some of the big over-under reactions? Will Fly miss playoffs? Will Rich carry Dig all the way to Worlds? And is Sven's career over after losing on Yumi?
Okay, so the last part is the Cloud9
part. That's the Cloud9 part.
The other parts are actually pretty good too of this tweet. But the Sven one is pretty funny because he himself propagates this meme.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the two Yumi games after Yumi got some very heavy nerfs. Thankfully, they lost the second one.
Yeah.
So, well done there, you know, to deliver the message, but...
And Yumi is 45% win rate now at solo queue. Like, this champion got blasted, and then they still came out and won with it, and I was like, oh,
We've had, let's see, Azir in the past. Ryze, for sure, has been down there as far as still successful in pro play, but, like,
45 to 47%.
Yumi, just like the Azirs and the Yasuos, requires a level of mechanical perfection That really does, you know. It's just
that only Sven.
Only Sven.
Well, that's the problem. Even he can't do it now. So he's they're washed.
Even Sven can't make Yumi work. Yumi needs some fat buffs. Come on.
He made it work 50% of the time.
Was it true? Was it Zeri, or was it because the second game was with Aphelios? They did change the pairing up there, and I think it did look worse without just like. Without the Pikachu.
I mean, I just think it was attacked better the second time. So when you're playing against Yumi, you need to attack it either kill them in lane, because it's very weak laner, or go roaming across the map and make plays elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And in the second game, it was all about Rell roaming across the map, making constant plays towards topside, getting a lot out of the jungle, getting a lot out of these roam timers, and it was actually successful execution of punishing this champion for some of the weaknesses that it does have, mm-hmm. where you spit bottom, you are not a good roamer. At least still, you know, Yumi definitely does have that weakness.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've heard people talk about that, you know, who he even talked about, you know, playing against these types of champions when he was casting with us, about how you have to roam and you have to do things that they can't do, right? To really kind of like showcase those weaknesses. We got another tweet here about C9. This one's from Blake Bauer. It says, he has a hot take. C9 will not make summer finals.
Have you seen enough to be...
There's a hot garbage take.
Yeah. You have not seen enough to make you doubt C9 making finals?
No. C9 to me are by far the best team in the league. They had a bit of an it game against NRG. Wasn't a great game, but overall, I still think they're looking incredibly good. They're the lone team, I think, that stands out as a team that was expected to be really good and is still at the top of the table. I can't remember who tweeted this out, but I quote retweeted it and was talking about kind of like... The question was basically expectations. Oh, it was Spawn. I think it was Spawn. It was expectations on who you thought would be like the best players in the league in each role versus reality. And when I was thinking through it, it was really kind of interesting because there's all these surprises. You got like Rich up there, and maybe like Armeo, and like all these guys who you wouldn't necessarily expect it, and JoJo and whatnot. But the Cloud9 guys are the exception to that, where it's like, okay, yeah, you expected Blabber to be at the top. You expected Berserker to be at the top. You expected these guys to be up there, and they still are, right? So Cloud9, I think, is performing still really, really well. We saw them get to bring out Nico, make it look super OP. Then the next day, they let Nico through and slapped it against 100 Thieves. So I still think Cloud9's looking really, really good. They had a bad game against NRG, but I feel like that's kind of Cloud9. They're really aggressive.
Well,
and
that's also the game that I'm talking about with the Yumi, where NRG used the Rell, yep. Ignar roams. They make a bunch of good plays on top side. So while, yeah, that was a bad game from Cloud9, it was also
a good game
yep. from NRG. And they attacked it, and they made them relinquish this level of, at least this level of Yumi priority. You can still have it sometimes, Sven, whatever, if you're willing to play it in the current state.
Maybe on your birthday.
But at least now they're going to be more sparing.
I'll put on the C9 hater hat and represent the take that they won't make
finals. Okay.
Yeah, here's the C9 hater hat. It's the same hat I was wearing. So I think that they have not looked as dominant across the board as they did in spring during their peak. Like, Fudge has been good, but not, like, I feel like he was hands down, not even close, the best top laner in spring. And yeah. I feel like it's a little bit more contested now with Licorice. Oh, and part of it is other people stepping up.
Licorice and Rich, I think.
Yeah. Licorice and Rich for sure above
better.
Him. For
yeah,
sure
right
above
now.
Him.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, so like, it's not even that like, oh, other people stepped up. I feel like he's made a couple more mistakes.
Yep.
He's still playing well. And I think, you know, MNS has been a little bit quieter. You know, I don't think he's, I feel like,
that
you know.
The Nico game was pretty loud.
That I mean, Gory also got a pen and kill on Jace, right? Like, he's pretty good. I think Gory's still actually playing really well. When you talk about team, like, it feels like they're head and shoulders above others. I'm not super sure about that. Like, Golden Guardian still looks very good to me. And I think EG is tied with them in the record. We'll see what happens this weekend.
So what's
when they
your
play.
Finals? If Cloud9 are not in it.
EG, GG. C9 might not even make playoffs.
So you're
going to
take Golden Guardians over Cloud9, that Cloud9 beat Golden Guardians 10 billion times in a row?
I just take the field. I that's the point, is that, you know, you're taking anything that can go wrong in playoffs.
That's fine. You could smudge a little of your dog shit, take over here, smudge a little bit over here.
Spread it around.
Spread it around to the whole field.
Yeah.
The whole field has a chance to stop C9 from making finals again.
Yeah.
Collect it all
that's
here.
True.
Boom!
That is factually correct. Cloud9 will either make finals or they won't. 50-50 chance.
And this say,
50-50 chance.
Actually, it's a 1 in 10 chance that they make finals because there's 10 teams.
True.
There's only a 10% chance Cloud9 makes finals.
That's crazy.
FlyQuest at 0-6 is one of the 10 teams that could make it over
chance.
There. 10% chance.
Yeah.
You guys just...
You guys just don't
Titans of intellect. Yeah. That are just,
most people can't understand even statistics. That's the problem, Kobe. They just don't get it. There's 10 teams, only 2 and 5. I guess actually I don't even understand statistics. It's a 20% chance. It's one of two teams can make it.
All right. Well, EG,
let's move on.
EG 5-1. Does JoJo understand statistics? He tweeted, LCS give me MVP, but JoJo haven't even played half the games yet. We can't do that.
He didn't make a case. He just said, give it.
Yeah. He said, give me. Give me the MVP.
Yeah, you can say that. I mean, that we're not bringing statistics into this. He just said, give me, give me.
What's the odds that he's going to get it?
Not bad, actually. Yeah. I would say we were looking at some... I don't know if you guys watched The Waiting Room for... week two, day three, Waiting Room, Kobe. You missed it. I just opened up Radar 360. We just like mucked around.
I was going to give feedback on that, but then we didn't have our feedback meeting
today. Will you give me the feedback? What's your problem?
I really didn't like it. I don't know if you want me to give this feedback now.
Yeah, I don't care.
Because I thought it was way too long and way too slow. For me, I picture like the target audience for that is someone who is interested in the stats. And I was. But I was frustrated that I couldn't control, you know, where you were going, and you just had to be at the mercy of you and Jat, like, you know, clicking on random stuff, and it felt very meandering, and I was hoping that it would be like more pointed and a little bit more of like a skeleton or some groundwork laid out first, so it wasn't quite so much of just looking at a browser full screen for over 10 minutes, I felt like.
Basically, he's saying you and Jet can't click good.
Well, I think it was funny because he's like, I want to control. It's like, bro, you have access to that tool. Just do it yourself.
But I'm watching the show.
Yeah, I know. It's a segment. Well, so we did get a lot of positive feedback, so I don't care what you think. Because afterwards, we were like, hey, let us know what you think because it was experimental, you know? And like, we got a lot of good tweets. I went back and watched Twitch chat. There were definitely some people who
I'm also a unique viewer, right? I'm not the every person, so.
Well, and to be fair to your point, there were a lot of people who were like, move on, boring. Yeah. I don't care about stats. Yeah, so, you know, That's why
I gave the feedback of if you laid out like some rubric beforehand and it had a little bit more direction.
A thesis, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think at the end of the day too, like speaking of content, since we're kind of in here, like I'm very much someone who likes when content means, you know, like the saying, you can't mean everything to everyone, you can mean something to everyone or everything
to
someone.
Yeah.
Like that was like, if you're a stats nerd, I hope that you
loved
that segment. If you're not a stats nerd, great, you mentally checked out for 15 minutes and the game started after anyways and we didn't delay the broadcast. Like, so that's kind of my thinking with it. And, you know.
Yeah, you want to create content that really resonates really heavily with a core amount of people, right?
Yeah, as long
Instead
as it's not
just
pissing
being
everyone
generically
off,
okay.
So the like signposts or a little bit more structure I liked, and then showing more of you guys, like the human element.
Oh yeah.
I also missed, like I got your voices, but I wanted more like parasocial.
the pip up,
let me see you guys.
That was a feedback note to that. Yeah,
so back to your point though, what did you see
from
JoJo?
So JoJo Pune was hulking out. He was plus 20 CSD, and sometimes when you have that early on in the season, you look and it's like, oh, he had like a 60 game because like one person inted and then the rest were like 5. He was like 20 consistently almost every single game.
He's slapping fools.
In mirror matchups, you know, going one way then the other. Like, he is legitimately, I think, playing the best of any one person in the LCS right now. Armeo did win the player of the week, though. So
that's... Jat lobbied very hard for that. And he has a big bias for any person who played on Team Liquid when he was there.
Yeah.
Or anyone related to that. I did vote for JoJo. And my biggest thing
is
that...
I voted for JoJo, too.
It is not... This is very clearly of, you check the boxes of the stats. Yeah, you know, stats give you an idea.
10
stats,
kill Viego.
Stats can inform. But some of the plays that he pulled off, especially like right after coming back, the Gragas game, he solo won by outplaying like 10 times in a row by himself. So a lot of them 1v2 in mid lane. They're just, the eye test of the actual plays that he's pulling off are more impressive to me even than this, you know,
his
giant...
His last Ahri game as well, like he was getting, you know, charm
Lots
flashes
picks,
and picks and stuff that were huge. And I do think that it's like, I think Armeo is having a great season and should be really proud of how he's playing. And I think he's one of the top performing junglers in the league. But I do think you can kind of like make the argument, and this is something I think about when I think about MVP, is if you put another guy into his slot, could they fill in there? and I do think there's some junglers that could maybe have filled in for Armeo. I don't think there's any other mid laner that is playing in the same way as JoJo is right now and playing as lane dominant. And that's something that I really think does speak to kind of like his prowess and something that is really special about him. You talk about the 20 CSD, it's not just because he's getting these crazy counter picks or because he's gotten 10 ganks and the person's dead under their turret. He plays so aggressively, right? And it's so interesting to watch that. And I know even, I think it was like Revenge or someone was in an interview after the game, they were talking about, it was the Quid game. Where, you know, Quid first game and he played Ahri, and they were talking about how in comms, JoJo was saying how he had already won the lane at level one, right? Like, he already felt like he was clapping this guy and was still level one. And it's just like, he's playing so aggressive. He's starting W, he's running past the wave. He was forcing Azir to constantly spawn soldiers so he couldn't even use the soldiers on the wave, and just like playing in such a way that was really heavily pressuring Quid from the get-go. So I do think he deserves a lot of credit.
And I think that brings up a secondary conversation that is a big one for LCS right now as far as generic role strength, mm-hmm. where I do think, you know, he's suffering a bit from, like, the rest of the mid lane pool is weaker than the rest of the jungle pool. To be clear, I was not mad about Armeo getting the vote. Okay, it's fine. You know, even though I did technically vote for JoJo. Armeo's also playing really well, but there are other, you know, strong junglers that are performing. I just feel like the mid lane pool right now is pretty soft, and that's what's making JoJo stand out so much.
I think it's JoJo, MNS, and Gory is the top three, and then it's a kind of pretty big drop off.
My boy Insanity, excuse me?
Do you actually think he should be in that conversation for top three?
I think right now he's in the combo for top three.
I don't agree. I mean, I think he's played well, and I think he's clearly proven that he's LCS caliber, and I think he should keep his spot over Ruby for sure. But I think there's a big gap between top three and everyone else. He had like his first Graves game was really a standout game where he kind of totally cleaned up that one fight over by Dragon, over by the blue buff, and really took over in that. And the Graves has been cool, but I don't think his follow-up two Graves games were like exceptional. I think they were totally like, they were solid games. Mm-hmm. He played well. He's LCS caliber. He should be proud of that. But I don't think that he has been dominating in the same way that some of these other guys have.
I do hope he keeps his spot, though.
Me too.
Because yeah, he has definitely looked good.
I'd say he is like top five, top six, and that is fully deserving of their spot. But I do think, like, unless I'm really kind of misremembering someone, but off the top of my head, I just feel like Gory, MNS, JoJo, and then there's a pretty big gap between them and the rest in my mind.
I think MNS has had some bad games so far, to be honest. Like the first game of the split, I think it was, he's had some games where it hasn't done a ton, and I think he's playing with a lot better teammates, so there's times where like he can win a game and be kind of invisible.
Your mistakes
and
do get papered over.
I think it's like not a huge deal when you win like game one, they win. I don't think Insanity could turn in that performance and win on TSM, so I think you know, that's not to say that Insanity's a better player than MNS, but I think it's closer for the top three, top four conversation. Outside them, I agree, it drops a lot. Harry's actually been very good in lane, but he's still making some oopsies a little bit.
Would you agree with the broader premises of like mid lane being a little soft right now?
I think it drops off a cliff outside that top five-ish. I don't think I'm forgetting anyone outside the ones you listed, and then I would throw in Insanity and Harry as like good. But Lulu's like, I don't hate him. But yeah, outside them, it's a bit slim pickings.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Harry has been solid for sure, too. But I don't think that he's not as like as complete of a player.
No, I think the late game team fighting still has some issues. To go back to EG, I think that the final thing I'll say that makes it work so well is JoJo actually has the highest jungle proximity in the league. Like, Armeo and him are camping together. It's why, like, him playing well gets Armeo Player of the Week, is because they're just there. Yeah. And Revenge has, like, taken a back seat in a lot of ways. He's spamming Sion now, and like
his reaction game was really good, though.
It's not to say that he has to do this, but I think they know that they want to play through JoJo, and he's going to get more attention than like a carry meta and topside potentially. So I don't know. They're just a team that has like a very good identity, despite getting slammed together out of nowhere.
To me, this is the most exciting story of the LCS in summer at all right now. This to me should be number one story. Is this team, EG, getting blown up in the offseason with the team that they had, and then getting better when, myself included, everyone was like, oh man, you know, all the money's gone, they gotta blow it up.
Good times are
over.
The
only one that they can hold on to is JoJo. I feel bad for JoJo, right? They're gonna have to build some crap team around him. No, they're actually better after blowing it up, and I feel so good for the players that actually got these chances.
Yep.
You know, Revenge has always been on bottom tier teams. Always been being like, what if? we could get him on a sick team. It would be another great example of NA talent. Boom, he's in. Armeo had to go to coaching, has always had this bad reputation since the early debut in LCS, and had to work so hard through Academy and constantly smurfing in Academy to get another chance. You know, all of these guys, the bottom lane, enough said about Ayla and all the Vulcan stuff, you know, and Unforgiven having to go to Academy too. It's like, this is literally every player's got like this bad news bears backstory to them.
Even JoJo a bit, who had a horrible spring.
They're tied for first right now with Cloud9, the like undisputed, yeah, they're going to be top.
Yeah, so. I think it's really exciting. And like, I won't go into the Ayla Vulcan stuff, but like, I have to give credit also to Ayla, because he has been, I think, one of the better performing supports in the league, right? He's been in the top couple, which has been, you know, that surprise. I think everyone, myself included, was expecting Vulcan to immediately be up towards top of the table, him and Prince, you know, kind of smurfing it. But I think support has been one of those kind of pleasant surprises where it has been some of the guys that you haven't expected. I think Core is actually having a really good split. Ayla's having a really good split. Hui's having a really good split. Zen has been good. That's not really surprising. But, you know, it's been cool to see them performing well. And EG does seem like a complete team, right? I don't want to give the picture that I think it's like, oh, it's just JoJo carrying a bunch of, you know, guys who are underperforming or whatever, but like the team has really been performing well and they do seem like a complete squad. So it's exciting to see how far they really can go, because I've even heard the opinion, I know from some pros, that they think, hey, like potentially Unforgiven could be a guy who's like actually ends up top of his role eventually in LCS, right? And that's something that I think is really exciting if you're an EG fan.
That's where I was about to go, is Unforgiven is actually like in that race with Berserker for KDA leader. Because we were highlighting Berserker when he had a 51, then they lose immediately to NRG and kind of tank it.
But the first place team's 80 carries are in the race for KDA leader, Azale. Let's get our stats checking.
I'm just saying, if Berserker's going to get credit for it, maybe give some for Unforgiven. I don't think he's like the star of the team, especially not in the early game, but he's very reliable and safe with the gold and actually does his job well, which is, to be fair, what an 80 carry does is sit back there and pew pew with whoever is closest.
Yep. So EG looking really good. Another team that's also looking good, but has maybe people have cooled off, I feel like, a little bit on them, is TL. TL 4-2 now. Jan had a really good Samira game this weekend. We got a tweet here from FighterGuy23. And it says, the biggest move this offseason that got overlooked initially was TL's head coach. From Marin to Rainover seems to have completely changed the team.
I'm a huge Rainover fan, so don't have to sell me too hard on that one.
Yeah, I heard some bad stories about Marin's coaching techniques. So, like, it's addition by subtraction for sure. I agree.
I'm not going to talk about that.
I did. It's on a different podcast I do where I said what one of the rumors was. But it's a rumor, to be fair. Like, okay. I haven't heard it super confirmed or anything like that. A person from a person told me, and I was like, yikers.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just, it's true that the team's got a lot better. I think everyone said this was a summer split team anyways, and potentially there were things holding them back in spring. Mm-hmm. It does feel like, I don't know how you guys feel. They did have a very soft strength of schedule. JoJo called them out on that. Yeah. They got a lot harder in week 3. That's really when push comes to shove. I think they're playing C9, Golden Guardians, and one other team.
I'll look it up.
So we'll see if they can kind of maintain this like winning record that they have right now, because they could go 0-3. Yeah, FlyQuest, it was supposed to be really hard. Apparently FlyQuest is terrible now. But like either way, this could have been the split, or like the week that puts them to 4-5.
Yeah.
Yep.
And looking back at strength of schedule or stats or all of these things are building blocks to make your story. And then watching the actual games, the improvements that you see from the players in how they're playing, like Summit not getting picked off all the time, that's something you can't take away from them with any of the, you know, counter arguments that are trying to be built up. Pioshik's individual plays have just legitimately been 50% at least better than his
core.
Than spring individual performances, core as well. So these things do give me hope. I was never one that's like to the moon with, oh yeah, you know, they're gonna go with the undefeated, you know, thing super early on or anything like that. But they have made real improvements, and that's what gives me, you know, confidence.
They were eighth.
Exactly.
They are not the eighth best team anymore.
But no. And to me, pretty solid. I would say they're going to finish top four. Like, they're going to finish in the top half of playoffs, mm-hmm. like upper bracket, you know.
They are pushing maybe Worlds-ish.
Yeah. I feel pretty confident that Cloud9, EG, Golden Guardians, Team Liquid feel really solid for me.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that 100 Thieves can get some stuff together. and get in there. We'll get into all the other ones. I've almost fallen off this FlyQuest train.
It didn't slow down. I just jumped off the back. You know, you got your like leather duster on, kind of rolled through the gravel and shit, carving you up. You know, you're like, I'll just take the bumps and bruises because it's going to be worse staying on this train. I'm off it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. But I mean, yeah, TL, like, as you say, like, I'm not sold for sure on them being top four guaranteed, because if FlyQuest does turn around, if Hundred Thieves turn around, I think it starts to become really competitive up there. But to your point, top four. So if you get fourth, you do go into the grudge match against EU for fourth place versus fourth place, and one of those goes to Worlds. So NA could potentially have four seeds at Worlds this year. So that is actually really exciting. So it makes that top four exceptionally important, because you do get that kind of like last chance qualifier, so to speak. And I do think TL have a real shot at making it there. It's nice for me to see Core actually playing well again, because Core was really good in NA for quite a long time when he came, and then I do feel like he legitimately had a downturn and maybe wasn't getting criticized in the way that he should have, because he kind of had that aura about him, he had that reputation about him. But I feel like people have started almost trying to like gaslight me that he was never good. And it was like, you know, it's gotten to this weird part where it's become like very, I feel like very anti-Core, or at least a lot of the chatter that I see and people tweeting at me about him. So I do think it's nice to see him having a bit of a bounce back split, where I think he's performing well, he's finding a lot of really good engages, and I think the meta moving away from enchanters just helps him. Like, yes, he it's funny because he won Worlds in an enchanter meta, but when he has been in NA at the very least, and when he's been with TL, I've always seen him as the focal point for starting their fights, and that is when he has really, really been able to shine, when he's able to be the guy who can pull the trigger and start the fight. And so it's nice to see that meta moving back to a place where I think he can really succeed, and him playing well in it.
Yeah, the point that I was going to bring up is that he is, as much as these overarching themes and storylines around like Sven being enchanter focused, Core JJ is the opposite of that. He is very much rel engage focused, and so if he's not good right now, then you better be worried, because rel is an amazing spot. And Engage just got turbo buffed because we did live through so much enchanter dominated era that this one I feel like will last a while, since we just had such a long period of the other. So I feel like he and Team Liquid are in for a decent stretch of positive meta synergy.
Yep, absolutely. So Golden Guardians, next team we're going to talk about, they're 4-2. They had a strong bounce back week. They had a pretty cool comeback versus TSM, where Sixty was like super, super behind in that game in the bot lane. And he gets a Penta, which was really, really cool. I think that Gory has been looking really good. Hui's been looking really good. And I've been so happy that Licorice has kind of continued his success, because that was one of the questions that I had, is that, you know, when you think back to spring during the regular season, there was all this negativity about him because he was legitimately just not playing well. Like, I thought he was the weak link on the team. And, you know, when we got to playoffs, there's this cool story. He starts playing carries. He's looking great. He goes to MSI. Everyone's really impressed. And you're like, okay, well, but was it just kind of like this weird little hot streak? Is he going to continue that? You know, when he comes back, is he going to go back down to earth? He actually has continued playing at a super high level, even in the games where the team isn't necessarily doing well. I think he has looked really, really good individually. Everyone's on the Rich hype train. I am too, full steam ahead. But I think Licorice is right there with him. And I think Licorice is having a hell of a split. And it is a long time since I can remember, you know, thinking of Licorice as an all-pro top laner. And right now, if I do all-pro today, he's on all-pro, 100%. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I would put Summit was the third top laner up there with the trifecta right now. And Licorice has not turned back into a pumpkin. Everybody was waiting for it to happen. But that strength, I think, is a little bit counterbalanced by bottom side worries.
Yeah.
If there's an area to be a little bit worried still about Golden Guardians,
is that Stixxay worries, or is that both? Because I think Hui has still been good. Yeah.
I mean, we could be honest.
Yeah.
Hui getting rel is also as amazing for him as it was for Core JJ, and especially since Hui is such a big shot caller and engage for this team, that's. AD carry is probably the area that you're most likely looking at with this team if something's going to keep them out. But with their bounce back, I feel fully confident, like I said earlier, with those top four listing.
Yeah, I was trying to find, I knew we had a Golden Garden suite. I don't know where it went in our document, but there's a couple tweets, people pretty excited about them, still saying a very similar thing, like, I think my top three, top four will include Golden Guardians. Yeah. One person disagrees with your take on Stixxay, and they said that he's about to win Player of the Week after they 3-0 on week three. So there you go.
Nice.
People still believe in Stixxay quite a bit. I think he's, like, kind of a, I don't want to say product of his environment, because I think he's good, but, like, when Golden Guardians is playing well, he can play that cleanup AD carry role that we were talking about. He can pick up Pentas. He got a Penta this week. I don't think he was, like, 1v9-ing these games or anything like that.
He was way behind in the Penta game.
Yeah. I mean, he played that fight very really well. Yep. And I think that speaks to the fact that he's not just a hanger-on. Like, sometimes people can be in teams that are good. It's like you're just there and you can swap people out around you. And, like, I do think he's legitimately borderline all-pro when you talk about, like, this team is just almost everyone on this team is borderline all-pro, and that's why they're good. Is you can make a case for almost any of them to kind of end up there.
They did go to MSI for us for a reason.
Yeah.
I will say, though, like, I don't know, like, maybe he should be in that conversation, but I did think that it feels like a downturn from where he was in playoffs and whatnot, and even potentially at MSI.
In spring.
Yeah, yeah. Because I like when I think back to spring, you know, I think about, you know, the Lucianami games and stuff. Like, they were one of our bot lanes that actually could play aggressively and could create advantages in the 2v2. His Lucian games have not looked good in this split to me. You know, neither of the games was he able to really find, like, those kind of, like, mid-game plays where you're looking for callings and you're chunking people out before dragons and you're finding those plays. And that's something that I really do expect of our best Lucian players. And I had kind of had him up there. So I do think he's on a little bit of a downturn, but, you know, still playing solid.
Yeah, I think were those both in week one? Because I think there was, like, this, I was not super impressed with Golden Guardians in week one.
It was both week one. Yeah, back-to-back. They lost to C9 and then TG, which, to be fair, our two best teams right now. We didn't know that EG was going to be at the top when they lost them, but yeah.
Yeah, I think to that point, I think their week one was a little flat, and it's where they felt a little underwhelming. But I'm actually very confident in this team still to be one of the best.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been looking strong. All right, as we're moving down, Dig, the big story for Dignitas is all about Rich, it feels like. It's all everyone is talking about these days. Rich has had some really monster performances. Jensen had a really, really good game. I can't remember who was TL that he had a really, really good game. And there's been some cool moments. I mean, I think back to Rich's game on Cassante against Summit, where he solo kills Summit, and then Summit
TP's back.
Respawns, TP's in on him, and Rich is at 20% health, and Cassante ults him through the wall and solo kills him again. And it's like, yes, this perfectly leads into all the, like, Showmaker copypastas about Cassante.
Wow!
Yeah, like, wow, 1 second CD, you can jump over walls, you know, like 5,000 armor, AD converts you know, from armor, etc., like all this stuff. Like, those are really, really funny. But Rich is also a nasty Cassante, and Summit is, like, the Gnar guy, right? And so for him to style on him with back-to-back solo kills like that was pretty, pretty crazy.
I would also say, when looking at Dignitas, even though there's such a magnifying glass up towards top lane with Rich being the new addition, being the faker of
Hot faker, baby.
Making Cassante plays, making memes in the process, and obviously being deserving of a lot of this praise because of his really good play. Tomo has been playing super well for them. Mm-hmm. He has had some really good carry games, and even though there is, you know, the spotlights over here, I feel like he does deserve a decent amount of praise.
But how good was he at Heroes of the Storm?
Especially considering the lead-up story for this team. I'm willing to bet zero games played on Heroes of the Storm for every other player.
Oh, God. All right, two tweets to get to. One is from Juice Apple Juice. Says, Rich will end top three in MVP voting and get first team All-Pro.
If I voted today, yes.
MVP?
I think he could be top three. I think he could be top.
Oh, yeah, top three MVP voting.
He would be my first team All-Pro. In top lane, voted today, he would be my number one top laner, and I would consider giving him a third place vote for MVP. So, yes, today.
Fair.
Yeah, I agree. Hots Faker. I like turning everyone else into Rich.
Yeah.
So Faker's LOL Rich, and, like, Messi is soccer or football Rich. You know, like, everyone is Rich. All the football. Goats are just versions of Rich.
Yeah. Why did he
football? Why didn't you say football?
Football.
Football.
Because I'm Spanish. Football de Americano. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about football.
You're making it so much worse than it has to be.
It's like when people try to overpronounce a name. My God. This is completely out of left field, but like, you know, like you just said Messi. And I remember my brother and I used to watch a lot of like World Cup and everything growing up. And I remember like Thierry Henry. I remember watching, there was like a U.S. commentator for the game. And he's like, Thierry Henry gets the ball. Thierry Henry fires it down the field. And, like, and so it just became the biggest meme with me and my brother for years and years. Anytime someone was unpronounced, like mispronouncing something, we'd always just be like, Thierry Henry.
I actually love mispronouncing things. Everything in my home gets a different name when I'm talking to Ashley.
That's Freak's go-to move as well.
All right, so that was the first one. It sounds like we're all pretty aligned that it's actually potential if he can keep this level of play up. We'll see if that's true. People might start targeting him now that he's getting a bit of a rep.
Yeah.
The other one, you talked about Tomo, pretty good, but this is a hot take about how good, what's Diggs' ceiling. This comes from Zach Sharkis Suffren. Despite Diamond and Santorin's best efforts, Rich and Jensen will get Dignitas to Worlds.
Oh, my God.
It's a positive take. They're going to Worlds.
It's positive
on the last half of it. Santorin has not had a good split. He has not. Diamond is not playing to his level either. I think Diamond even said that in his interview that he hasn't been happy with
how his rel game was very painful.
Yeah, he's had some roughies, so I think he's really adjusting. And on one of his stage interviews, he was talking about how it has been a big adjustment, that the level in LCS is just way higher than Academy, and so he has had to really adjust on things. And I've heard Academy talk players talk about that in the past, where it's like sometimes you do have to really kind of like relearn your game in a way, because there's things that you could get away with before that you just can't now, right? And so there is that a bit of an adjustment period for him. Hopefully he can step it up. Santorin, though, was kind of surprising to me, because Santorin was a bright spot, one of the few bright spots on Dig in spring, where it was like, yeah, Dig's gonna lose the game, but you can count on Santorin to get a couple kills early. Like, his early jungle pathing is gonna be good, his ganks are gonna be smart. But there's been a few plays that have just like, hasn't been mechanical things, it's just like, what are you doing, bro?
He's done a bit of trolling so far.
The Vi ult top into the Renekton was just like, in that Quinn game, was, I would have wanted to alt F4 if I was Rich. Like,
there was the Rek'Sai game also around the Rift Herald fight where he ults in as Rek'Sai, and then you have nothing to get out. You're just in the middle of the entire team and you just use your untargetable. And so there's been a couple moments that are actually like, all right, you're just trolling right now.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a funny tweet. Mark's going to try and sell it off as positive.
They're going to Worlds. They said despite that, they're going to Worlds.
The best way to deal with, you know, some
despite
bad scenarios
Mark's
sometimes.
Dog shit casting, the dive cast this for Thursday will be excellent. Yeah.
You got to laugh it off. That's the best way to deal with these things sometimes.
Positive tweet, right?
Yeah, sure. It was the best cast I ever heard, despite the fact that Mark was there. And I'll be like, I was a part of the best cast ever.
That was a great cast. Yeah, great tweet.
Would you go to Worlds if people were flaming you versus not going to Worlds? If those are the two options?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I will say also, like, people know Santorin's better than this. I think we all do. And so it does speak to the fact that, like, they actually have, like, weirdly the firepower to go to Worlds. It's like the things around it. Because sometimes, like, people talk about, like, your carry positions, your AD carry, and your mid-lane.
The tweet is about playoffs or Worlds?
They're going to Worlds, it says.
Okay. I was like, playoffs, that's only top eight. That's easy. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, sure. Going to Worlds.
Yeah, yeah, like, listen to me.
Whoa, this guy is really cooking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're Dignitas to Worlds.
What do you guys actually think about... Okay, finish your point.
I was just going to say that, like, they weirdly have the opposite problem that I think a lot of teams do when they're, like, not good enough is, like, Team Liquid, do they have enough firepower with Harry and Yon as their two main carries, despite the fact that, like, you have this support around them? Here, it's like... Tomo's doing fine. I think he still has issues, but like, he's young and will get better.
Had some good big plays.
And some really good big plays too. His Aphelios is very good, even back in spring. Jensen can step up, and Rich has been stepping up. And it's just like, the people who set them up in team fights need to do better, which is like weirdly usually not the problem teams have. So that's where I was just going, where if those guys figure it out and improve, then they actually are in a really good spot to make a good postseason push.
What is your guys' honest opinion though on like Jensen's level right now? Because I feel like some of these tweets and just our little discussion here feels like it's kind of papering over some of the stuff, because I feel like he had some pretty bad games. After this weekend, I've seen a lot of real positive, but like previous, everyone's memeing his Ahri game was really bad. His Azir game was kind of rough. I think he had a pretty bad Annie game. Like,
he won the Cassio game, but he was getting kind of dunked on by JoJo through the early game.
Like, in their losses, they were pretty rough games that I recall.
He's the easiest to attack in Champ Select as well. So will be a liability regardless when you get to best of series for sure, because he is going to play a backline mage, and there's not variety there. So if you're not mechanically performing, or if you're not going to be reliable in scaling to the team fights on that type of pick, then there is certainly a big problem.
Yeah, I overall agree with the point that just pretending like Jensen's been smurfing and the rest of the team's holding him back isn't quite fair. I feel like
That's certainly not fair.
Yeah, the only person who I feel like has consistently performed every single game so far is Rich, and the rest of the people kind of vary around him.
I don't think anyone has the take that Jensen's been smurfing and carrying the rest of them.
I mean, that's really what the take
is. That's basically what it is.
Despite Diamond and Santorin's best efforts, Rich and Jensen will get Dignitas.
Okay. Yeah. Rich and Jensen. I was like, okay.
Rich is in capital letters and Jensen in subscripts.
You know what they say when, like, the Rich in that sentence is doing a lot of the work?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that's the thing, right? And even just, like, stats aren't everything, but, like, his average gold at 15 is, like, negative almost 700 for Jensen, right? So, like, his laning phases have not been going well. So I do think, you know, Jensen, obviously, that we have a lot of faith in him built up because he's been probably the second best mid laner ever in LCS as far as like career wide, right? It's like him and Bjerg. I think that was the vote for LCS top 10 from last year before, whatever. But I don't think he's had his best split. And if they want to actually make it to Worlds, I do think we're going to have, it's going to have to be a whole team effort. I don't think it can just be Rich. And I don't think Jensen's playing well enough that he can just like drag this team to Worlds, right? So it's got to be the whole team stepping up.
And I think that the reason I bring up the champion select thing is because I think it's actually more important to focus on like how the teams are playing than individual levels of the players, where I am very happy to see them willing to play stuff like the Quinn top.
Yeah.
And embrace some strategies like that. So if they're willing to flex to some Rich win conditions, which I think would be amazing for the league, just viewability first and entertainment. But also, you are going to need the rest of the players to be flexible, to be able to adapt to some of these, you know, things for Champ Select. So that's where I really focus on, because a lot of the times it's the synergies of the players that's more important than individual levels.
And it's cool. Like, I'm glad you mentioned the Quinn game. That was really fun to watch. We had that cool Yone game from Licorice earlier, so I'm hoping we're going to get some continued stuff. And maybe there will be some more changes that'll, like, you know, incentivize that for our top lane, because I know the design team doesn't want it to just be like enchanters and hyper carry 80 carries, because it's been that for a long time. So I know that they obviously already nerfed a lot of the enchanters, and I know they're trying to do more work to try to push away from that. So we'll see where we do end up. But Dignitas definitely has been a pleasant surprise, I think, so far. TSM, another team that has been a pleasant surprise for sure. 3-3 overall. You know, definitely doing, I think, better than what we expected. I know in the power rankings, like, I had them 10th. A lot of people had them 10th. To be fair, that was, you know, based on them with Ruby, and I think even in our Power Rankings episode, we said that, hey, if they're playing with Insanity, we think they might actually do a little bit better. And now, you know, Ruby is here. We know that. I think Insanity should stay in. I do think he has been a big part of the reason that they are actually being successful. It's cool, you know, we talk about the cool top lane picks. It's cool to see he was the only guy in LCS history to have played mid lane Graves, and he played it 3 games in a row and made it work, right? Like, he was actually, he had one game that was a really kind of monster game. The others, I think, were solid. And as a team, I think, you know, TSM is looking solid and really outperforming expectations.
Yeah. I mean, it feels weird that he's probably their best performing player and he might get benched.
What? I gotta go. Okay, I was gonna start talking about Turtle next, but I feel like Turtle is such a big reason. You can go with your Insanity best performer.
No,
player,
that was basically it. But I do think, like, Haunter has been really good, too. Like, he played the 3 Malphite games and played Cassante and was like, oh, look, he's not just, like, getting stuck on Malphite because he sucks. And Turtle's the same way. I think he's actually very good as well.
I feel like Turtle deserves so much credit because, yeah, you know, we were considering Ruby being in it when we were low rating this team. And we were also considering things like, how checked out the organization is going to be, you know, already announcing leaving and not having funds. But let's be honest, even with those considerations, that doesn't
make up
the gap for where they are now. They are really smashing it, I feel like, with what they've been given. And I think Turtle deserves so much credit. This man has been playing League of Legends since before the LCS existed, since before we had a competitive league in North America. He was a flex player, and he is still at the top of, like, he's playing exceptional right now, carrying against a lot of these other AD carries in the LCS currently. He's still sniping away, you know, objectives with skill shots like classic Turtle. Mm-hmm. He's playing aggressively when necessary. And yeah, this team is 50-50. You know, they're 3-3 right now. So I am saying all this with kind of the caveat of where my expectations were for them, but they have so far exceeded it. And I feel like especially proud to see Turtle as the one that came in, and I casted the game where he came in and took Chaos' job and got a pentakill. I casted him with that. I don't know who's going to cast the last game that he and TSM have in LCS, but he is certainly bringing back that same carry power. So
yeah,
I just feel like that's so cool.
It's been part of their history for a long time. I got a tweet here. One's from FGC Dads. He says, TSM is doing better than they should be able to, and it's the format that's helping them. Veterans with a wild card mid laner are able to survive three game day weeks where game preparation can't be as team focused as the main format would be.
A couple things to dig into here. First off, no one does very targeted prep most of the time anyways, I would honestly say. Like, teams get away with like certain draft strategies that they get to use more times than they ever would in an actual best of five series.
Yep.
Because you are generally playing things, you're preparing for a general strategy, you're not going to over-index
like
a week of prep.
Last season versus playoffs, right?
Yeah, exactly. Those kinds of things happen. So like, I don't think this format is suddenly different than like a two-game one. There is slightly less time. But in their interview, I think it was on the lounge, someone was telling us that like they're playing ass loads of games. Like they're triple blocking, they're playing on weekends, they're basically not taking
days. How many
games
are they playing, Mark?
There's a lot of ass in this episode.
There's ass beating, there's ass loads.
There's ass loads. I'm just saying there's a lot because I think the perception that you were talking about, you know, where people are going to come in, they're going to be lazy or like, you know, there's not going to be this pressure from the org. I think a lot of these guys are hungry in and of themselves. And we talk about Revan potentially, you know, wanting to prove things and the yep. team's trying very hard. They're not checked out despite being veterans. And so like, I think giving the format the credit as opposed to these guys sits poorly with me.
Yeah.
Because I just like, I don't think it's that different than the regular seasons anyways.
And even if like the owners want to leave the league, it doesn't mean that the players don't want to keep playing, right?
Yeah. So definitely, they're not going with them.
Yeah, exactly. They're not going to be going to LPL or LCK or wherever TSM goes. So this is their opportunity to be able to, you know, showcase that they should still be in the league. And this is kind of their tryout, really, to keep a spot on maybe whoever buys TSM or whoever actually, you know, is needing those other roles that they could be playing in.
The final thing I was going to say, your boy Turtle, number one in CSD for AD carries.
That's my boy, Jason Tran.
Number one in gold difference at 14. This boy, I wonder if you looked it up.
Now I'm on board.
Yeah.
Now
is board. He the longest standing pro? He might be, because he's playing on like Meat Playground back in like season 2 or 1 or whenever that was. You know, he was
so,
like
summoning. Did he start before double
A? I remember the IPL that was in San Francisco. He came down. I think that was his first one. He played Gragas mid.
He played Gragas mid, yeah.
He was flex player. So
it's over 10 years. I don't know if
I'm going to go ahead and say definitively yes.
The longest tenured pro player in history.
Maybe.
In the world, ever. Pending, in the history of League of Legends.
Pending verification of any kind.
Could be.
In the history of Dota.
All right, the next team that I wanted to talk about was actually Immortals. However, this is a community-driven episode. Every team under Azale's tweet got something.
Got over 100 responses.
Over 100 responses. Unfortunately, none of them included Immortals.
There's we have no tweets?
No tweets. At time of recording, there were no tweets about Immortals.
Zero mentions.
So
zero
we mentions. Can't talk about them on a community-driven show if no. no one in the community wants to hear about them.
Okay, hopefully then someone maybe who works for Immortals and watches the show, tweet about Immortals next time. Then we can have our Immortal segment. Somebody tweet about Tactical or Belulu or something.
I love Belulu.
Somebody.
Every time we do content with Belulu, I'm like, I love that guy. And now I don't get to talk about him.
Okay. All right, who's next then?
All right, moving on.
NRG.
No tweet. We got, all right, who's, what's the tweet for
NRG's
them?
NRG's got a tweet. NRG's tweet says from Berzonker.
Berzonker. It's Berserker's younger brother.
Berzonker, and he's got a C9. You know,
somebody
like
sign him.
You know the C9, wait. Like a meme image with, yeah.
The fan.
Berzonker. NRG will ride the momentum of their win versus C9 and make it to Worlds, and Palafox will get MVP. He deserved an all-pro last split, second team IMO, but was robbed.
That That's an interesting.
Lots to unpack there.
It's a Cloud9 fan with the Cloud9 logo and Cloud9 Twitter account, and he was so impressed by Energy taking down Cloud9. He's like, anyone who could beat us, they're going to get MVP. They're going to Worlds. I like this line of thought.
Yeah, this one is interesting. The Palafox MVP, I'm not sold on. I don't feel like. Do you think he's playing as well as last split? I feel like he was more dominant last split from the games that I can recall. I haven't put a lot of thought into the Palafox MVP.
You haven't thought about the Palafox MVP angle? You're building your case live?
I will say I did feel bad for him in the Kai'Sa mid game because his Kai'Sa did look really good.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, that was a good game.
They still end up losing, and there were a lot of really tough spots that the team was in. I obviously, MVP is a big stretch.
And he's 2-4.
Very big stretch.
We're stretching.
I typed in NRG on Games of Legends, and they had no games played in Summer Split. I was like, why is this bugging their NRG?
Oh, CLG, you mean. You typed in CLG.
He said NRG.
Sorry, I was looking up CLG.
Yeah.
Trolled. But yeah, I think Palafox last split, I think I put him on my 13 ballot. I think he had a decent case depending on what you wanted to do with Emenez, because I think if you included Emenez, it was like a little harder. And I think he's playing fine again. I do think it's a small step down, but I also think he peaked in the second round robin last split as well. Like, I don't think he was like setting the world on fire through the first round robin. If I remember, it was like once Aesol came out and like was played a lot, everyone's like, oh my God, this dude's Aesol is crazy and stuff. Yeah. So he always has unique champions, and the whole team has weird draft strategies. Their entire top side of the map has not repeated a champion yet. All of them have entirely unique champions so far through six games. So like, I think this team is better than their record right now. I don't know without massive improvements, though, if any of them are going to crack all pro.
By how much, though, right? Like, they're 2-4, but I don't feel like they look that good. To me, just like eye test without thinking about it that much, I feel like Palafox doesn't look as good. Dokla doesn't look as good.
I've got a tweet for you that's I just made up.
Yeah,
tweet
it out.
From Billy Bob. A Zale fan.
From Esports _Kobe
from
says,
Esports Kobe fan.
Do you think the bottom lane changes were actually an upgrade?
Ooh, so this is a topic of a lot of people talking
about. Yeah, this is interesting. So I think I asked you guys both last dive episode, and you both said yes.
What?
Yep.
No.
He asked us that?
Yeah, I asked you that
episode. No, he did ask that, yeah.
I asked you that last episode, and you both said yes.
I said a lot of people are not impressed with FBI. I remember saying that in the dive,
but
too.
But you both said yes.
I don't remember any of that.
But you said slight upgrades.
I also said that...
The fact that you're asking this, though, makes me think that you no longer agree with past you. Future Kobe thinks something different.
I remember there being more nuance than us just saying yes, because I also remember, I think I said that I don't really like...
You said the TLDR was slight upgrade, but they would... You think that they would end around where they ended last year.
It's coming back to me. It's coming back to me.
I think I also remember saying that I have not been super impressed by Ignar, and I'm just generally not hot on Ignar at all in the recent splits and years and stuff. Yeah. And I still feel that way. Like he sometimes makes big plays, and you're like, he just won them the game.
His Rell game was really good.
Yep, exactly. But you're like, okay, but what about 18 games of just like being fundamentally good? It's not there for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming back. It's coming back to me now. That, I mean, I still do think, especially because I know that team felt like there was a disconnect that you could see in watching the games with the previous bottom lane and what the rest of the team wanted to do. We had the breakdown replay of AD carry going one way, rest of the team going the other way, and a couple different scenarios. So I still think that's true.
And
I agree with Pascoby on that one, but I am a little light on the impact that I thought this bottom lane was going to be able to have.
It's more than what they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know another thing you mentioned is one of the reasons you were with that was you said, hey, you put a lot of weight in what the players had thought, and that the players, at least before, had all thought, for sure, this is an upgrade, this is going to be a better bot lane. But I from what I have seen, you know, to answer it like with what we've seen now, they haven't been really better. No, I don't think they have.
No, I agree. I think even like I think there were a couple of Felios games at FBI this weekend where like that's usually, in my opinion, one of his better champions. Yeah. And it was not very impressive. He was getting caught out of position and stuff. Funnily enough, tinfoil hat theory, Luger was actually a better fit for this team because he was disconnected, because the top side of the map go full bananas and just jump in. And, like, you know, Luger's like, whatever, I'm not there. And the FBI's, like, trying to follow up and be a team player. And he's just in the middle of five people killing himself. And
you're basically, like, sounds like you're saying the top side is doing so much dumb shit.
Yeah.
Is this really better when the bottom side is just like, whoa, look at those idiots. I'm not getting involved.
I agree that the bottom side has not been great. But are we going to pretend the top side of the map's been, like, popping
off? No, they haven't. Yeah. That's what I started with. Yep. I said, I think both Doka and Palafox look worse than before. So it's like, as far as, you know, because Kobe or one of you said that they think they're better than their record. And I think that's fair. Right, like 2-4, but I don't like. But how much better? Because I don't. They don't look like a top team at all to me. Like they were fourth in spring, right? Yes, it was like a tie and whatever. There's a bunch of teams close, but they were fourth at the end of the regular season. They don't look anywhere close to that to me.
I think the thing is, there's a difference between them looking right now like they should have a better record, or you thinking that they are better players than they look right now.
That's fair.
That's
right? I agree with that.
That's a better way to put it for me too.
Yep. Yeah. If that's your point, I agree then. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't phrase it very well.
Because I know they could be better than what they're showing.
Don't worry. I'll clean it up. Yeah, Mark's really big on like the backhanded compliments this episode as well, I feel like.
I just throw words out and I'm like, shape it into something reasonable. I don't know what I just said.
Yeah.
So to this point, they're 2-4. They're tied with the Mortals and 100 Thieves at 2-4. And then Dig and TSM are above them. In that clumping of teams, I believe that NRG should be near the top of that clumping. I think when you play the rest of the season out, they will rise from that clumping.
Maybe above TSM, Dig, Immortals.
A couple of those teams might end up above them a little bit. But like, I don't think that they'll... I think they'll be above a handful of them.
Okay. So you're saying basically below C9, EG, TL, Golden Guardians.
Yeah,
so
there's like the top four that we're talking about.
Fifth, sixth-ish.
Yeah, and that's where I put them in my power rankings. Like, I think they can still get there. Mm-hmm. If they keep playing like this, they will not get there. But to Kobe's point, like, I know they can be better than this. That's why they finished fourth back-to-back splits, basically. You know, like, we've seen them do it. They got to step up.
Yep. Okay. So we'll see if they're going to be able to actually do that. We have one final team here to cover. It is FlyQuest.
Oh, you skipped Hundo Thundo?
Oh, did I? Oops. Oh, you're right. I did. We got 100 Thieves. They are also 2-4. Quid came in this week. It was a 1-2 weekend. They did win that final game at least. The first games were pretty rough. I don't know. The team was already having a lot of problems, though, and we've seen a lot of people on their debut games have rough games. So, like, I don't want to pass too much judgment on Quid, but... it was rough.
The thing is, you have to, because he is coming in late, so you have to pass judgment early. It's one of these, it's a bad scenario, but tough break. You know, you're playing catch up because visa issues, got over here late. You don't have time to catch up. It's like last split when you felt bad for Ayla being delayed and then finally getting here and then not having...
But
you know,
he did bad, yeah.
But he did, and that's a scenario that they're in. They're jungle as well. When you have mid and jungle being your weak spots as a team, it is hard to play League of Legends.
What happened to Spica?
Closer?
Closer, excuse me.
It is hard to play League of Legends when your mid jungle is a power deficit most games. And Closer has also been making a lot of mistakes. So, you know, those roles are definitely tied together, and bringing in a new mid laner and having to work through so many variables, but also having a poor performance from what is usually one of our better junglers and at times our finals MVP jungler. So that this team to me right now, like, they had the one super someday carry game, and then most of the other ones are just like double lift and Busio, and they're scraping by. That's why I feel this team is another one where I could see it working so much better than it is. But I don't know if I would predict that to actually happen because of the things that they have to work through to get it. Maybe you can say there's a greater chance of very quick improvement from Quid since just got over here and there's so many variables you're trying to fix that
with him
maybe when a lot of these things do align, boom, you get massive improvement.
Yeah, but it is disappointing watching this team, because I agree. I know a lot of people were memeing on Doublelift because of the Ashe flash where he flashed on the wall or whatever.
Oh, it was an ambitious flash.
It was an ambitious flash.
He was like 100 units away and still flashed it.
It was a really bad flash, and it was a funny one, and Busio also made a funny tweet about it. I don't know if you guys saw. He did like an edit with, like, you know, it's like the goat and whatever, and Michael Jordan dunking or some shit, and then it's him flashing the wall, whatever. You know, it was really funny. Oh, it's a good tweet. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. But... to be honest, most of the games I watch this team, I'm like, Doublelift's doing well. but the game's already lost. Like, he's, you know, even ahead in farm or whatever, it seems like he's doing fine. Like, bot lane's solid, but like, most of these games are over before anything happens. Game one, when Quid came in, they had double lift on Ashe, and I think I was casting it with Fudge, I can't remember, but we were kind of even joking about it on the cast, where it's like, oh, it's a lot of pressure on Quid, because usually double lift is his carry, you know, like, if Quid has a bad game, we know tomorrow double's gonna be back on a real carry. He's not playing the support for, you know, like, he's not gonna be that supportive role. And that was the game where Quid got like turbo pounded by EG, right? Where like you got Dove and blah, 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 and Armeo and JoJo were kind of styling on. But 100 Thieves have not really had a lot of bright spots. It's like you say, somebody had one really good game. Largely, Busio and Doublelift have been pretty solid, I think. But like, I don't know. I also find it hard to blame players when it's like there's one lane that's doing okay and that everything else is kind of on fire. And then that player messes up and you kind of want to jump on that player. But it's like, I know when I'm playing, if the map is going bad, you feel like, I gotta do something, I gotta try something. So maybe you're gonna try something risky that's maybe not that smart.
You subtweeting Rafa right now?
I've been roasting Rafa.
And you and Rafa's Twitter drama, or whatever you want to call it, is so funny.
I know. I love playing.
It's not
Rafa.
Drama.
It's yeah, not drama. It's not drama. Rafa's my
boy. Rafa's my boy, and we've been playing a lot of league together.
Losing just, a lot of league.
We've been losing a lot of league together. It's just really funny because we've been playing for a couple days, and I look, and we're like 4-18 or something, and I'm like, Rafa, what is happening? You know, like, he's like, it's just, and like, I started giving him shit for it when we were playing just in comms or whatever. And it's kind of funny because he started feeling like real bad. And it's like, he'll start doing bad. He's like, I'm so bad. I'm sorry. You know, whatever.
Did you, like, did you see his Viego highlight though? Yeah. That thing was clean.
Yeah, he was going nuts. And then so I had him shift hard. Did you see his response to me?
No,
I didn't. It was like, he had like he's like laying down in bed and pulling up the covers, and it's like, how could this happen to me? You know, like, it's pretty funny, but yeah, we've been running it down. Either way, when the game's going bad, like, I understand wanting to try something, wanting to try to force something, you know, mm-hmm. You're playing with your boy Rafa, you screwed up your wave top lane, you know, you gotta make something happen.
So, you were saying earlier, if it smells like shit everywhere you go, you better check your shoes. Is Rafa popped off when he didn't have a sale in his game? Who's
true?
Yeah.
Looking forward to our cast. Yeah. So if the tweet that we got about this was from Actually Walnut, basically just asking what's wrong with the team.
A lot.
If only someone could have predicted this, you know, that the team was going to struggle. If only someone could have seen this coming. If only there was someone weeks ago saying that this team was going
to
have
problems.
Remember,
to be fair, we'd made all those predictions as well, that they were going to have Quid from the start.
I also said that they were going to have Nuke Duck, but I like the thing about Quid is he was a good challenger level mid laner in Korea. Vikla was like their rookie of the year, basically, and a top three.
I mean, Vikla is just how is he this bad? It's just weird.
My point being that like the concept that the Korean pro is going to come in and be the best in the league or even top half the league, it should be dead. It should have died 10 years ago, and it's still going on, and like people were hyped about Quid.
Don't put words in our mouth though. I never saying that like with Quid, and I never thought that at all.
I didn't say you said that.
No, but I mean, but you're people like said I that. Said I made my predictions with Quid, and then you give that, so it's kind of implying. Anyway, I'm just gonna say, like, to me it's like I never expected Quid to be a top mid laner in the league or anything like that, but I do think there's a big difference between a team being able to actually scrim with and practice with a player leading into a season and not, right?
I don't think it matters for him. No offense, but like,
You think there's no difference between if 100 Thieves had him and all those scrims that they had with Nuke Duck were with Quid? You think they'd be the exact same position?
Basically, it'd be slightly better, but like, to be fair to Quid, and this is not a shot at him, but he's like a 19-year-old kid flown across for the first time ever, and their video says the first time he's like overseas anywhere with a team that is slightly dysfunctional even without him. I would posit they finished 1-2 even with Nuke Duck, so I'm not saying like it's Quid's fault. Closers had problems before in regular seasons where he becomes a problem. Some days had splits where he's not been great, and Doublelift and Busio, while are the bright spot for this team,
they're not dominating or anything.
They're not like they're not top three. They're like not really all pro candidates, really, you know? So like, even if things were better around them, maybe they could get into all pro because, you know, rising tide raises all lanes.
That's also kind of how ADC works, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. So like, if you put Doublelift on EG, you know, like
Cloud9 or whatever,
or something,
he's probably cleaning up a lot of teams.
He's probably cleaning up and looking really good. So like, I'm not throwing too many shots at them, but I am saying it's not like they're crushing lane phase. Like, they shit on Prince in game one, and like, that was it. That was the only lane phase where they really crushed anyone, I think, if I remember correctly. So like, it's a team that has like a lot of weaknesses, and like, that was my concern. And like, I think, you know, when people ask what's wrong with the team, it's like all these things that like have popped up at different points in these players' careers, and I took the pessimistic angle that this could all happen, and now it's all happening. And it's not like, I don't think I'm a, like, it was possible.
So really, you're a prophet.
No.
And what you're saying
is gambler,
that
I'm a gambler.
LCK Challenger ruined the LCS.
No, really? I'm just saying that, like,
Bicklin quit.
First it was girlfriends, now it's LCK players.
No,
I'm
just saying he wasn't Berserker. He wasn't the Berserker of mid lane when they got him. You know, he wasn't this, like, highly touted, everyone's
scrambling. He's not now either.
No, he's still not. But my point was, like, you ask the people who are in the scene, just like the experts, and I asked them, and they're like, what do you think of Quid? And they're like, he's good, you know.
Yeah. Well,
Chronicler, I think he was, like, generously giving top six, basically, to Quid.
Yeah, he basically, yeah, like, middle of the pack in their tier two.
In LCK Challenger.
Not in LCK.
Yeah.
But, like, it just doesn't always work out regardless of the circumstance. I mean, Vikla was, I would say, more hyped to me by Korean experts
than Berserker.
Because
he was actually great.
No, but I mean, Berserker. Berserker was like, this guy's a really crazy talent, but he's not proven yet. Vikla was like, this guy's a really crazy talent, and he showed he could do it, you know, in LCK. And he did have some bad games in LCK too, but he had, like, some really amazing performances. And the general kind of consensus that I had you know, heard people come to and talk to people about was that he is going to be able to, you know, like, polish up some of these little rough edges, and Vikla is going to be incredible, right? But that one is even more weird to me, because the Quid one is just like, yeah, like, I didn't have crazy expectations. He came in, I'm definitely not trying to put it all on him, because it's not, like, there's been a lot of problems with this team. But I am surprised at how bad they have been doing, I guess. Maybe not with the circumstances, but I did think this team was going to be better for sure. I want to see how they are by the end of the split, right? Because that will be my, like, copium of, like, my judgment on this team was that they would, if they had Quid from the start, how good they would be. And I think I put them maybe fifth or something like that. I don't think I put them crazy high. But, like, if they can be good in by the last week of the regular season, then that will be my judgment on them. And that will be, like, where I think their level is. And then that'll be kind of, like, where they potentially go into playoffs at. But if they stay at this level, yeah, they're not really anywhere close to Worlds or anything like that.
It's still early season in the sense that it's been 2 weeks, but there's also only six. So we're coming up on the halfway point already. Yeah. So, you know, you do have to ramp up quickly. The final thing I'll say is just scouting as a whole is, like, a bit of a crapshoot at the end of the day. Like, you don't know how anyone's going to adapt. The Berserker point, like, turns out his personality is just, like, a great fit to be in America, it seems like. You know, like, he's very outgoing, giggly, funny, picked up English very quickly. Who knows why? But, like, some people, when the environment changes, you don't know what's going to happen to the person as you move them to a new environment. And some people can really pick it up. And Quid's still very early in that journey, and maybe he will adapt. But
there's culture shock.
Culture shock's a real thing. Like, this is one of the things we learned very early when we started importing Korean pros. And, like, we didn't have as good support systems around them. But, like, yeah, a lot of those guys, it's just like
they just don't like
it's a different world. Yeah, you can't get the food the same way. Everything's different, and it's hard to be good in game when out of game you're not feeling good.
Well, and that's why I think that, like, I do give credit to Cloud9 for this, is that they've always seemed to have kind of, like, a good vibe, right, about their team. And for years and years and years,
that was around
Sneaky and Meteos and stuff, right? And I think that, like, I think a lot of people felt that, like, when Sneaky left, that it was never going to have that vibe again, that it was not going to be, like, the kind of fun team, the meme team. But they seem to have kind of maintained that, and, like, they seem to kind of have that fun vibe. And I do think that, I'm not going to pretend that I had a similar experience to, like, moving to Korea from Canada, but, like, you know, I moved around a fair bit. I lived in Phoenix, I lived in New Jersey, whatever. I moved from Canada to different places. So, like, I know a little bit of the experience, not the culture shock, but just the change in environment. And I will say that, like, when you have people around you that you get along with really well and friends, it makes the transition easy. So, you know, having a good environment, having, you know, people that make you feel at home is going to make a big difference. And Cloud9, I do think, does seem to be good with that.
Yeah, and I think the one carrying the big torch for that now is Ven. Fudge as well is pretty outgoing. But back on the focus of 100 Thieves, and their situation, trying to take in all these factors, I still just can't get over how do you play League of Legends when your mid jungle is such a power deficit. The way it works right now is your AD carry is going to win you late game, but you can't get early objectives without mid jungle playing well. And so that to me should be number one, first thing on the list here. You know, work it out with these two guys, because they had some at the beginning. Someday, unless Renekton gets banned, I mean, if Renekton gets banned, it's a very big power deficit for them. You know, that's another champ select thing. But you should be able to work off of, you know, some small changes here for them to be able to at least play the mid game from a much more even playing field, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll see if they can improve.
Dual queue a lot or something. Yeah.
In the next couple weeks. Hopefully they can step it up. We got one more team, and then I'm being told we need to wrap because Mark is already late for his afternoon meeting. So we're going to have to fly through this. FlyQuest, it is shocking. I mean, I tweeted it out after this weekend that, like, I am actually blown away how bad this team is. I honestly could not believe it. If you told me that this was going to be the result, like, I would have bet you that there's, like, I would have bet whatever. There's no way that this team is going to be 0-6. There's no way that this team is going to look this bad.
Yeah.
You know, Closer, you said, has had problems. Spica has looked really bad. I'm just like, what is happening with this team? I would say everyone looks really bad except Impact. I think Impact has been pretty solid. He's been kind of doing his thing. I'm shocked. This team sucks.
I will give you some hope, and that is that multiple players that I've talked to say that FlyQuest is performing really well in scrims right now, so people are actually kind of confused.
JoJo said that in an interview as well.
So
I also heard from multiple players that they weren't surprised at all that FlyQuest sucks because...
So they're... doing really well in some scrims and losing to other players.
That's my takeaway, unless people are telling me lies.
I mean, that very well could, I mean, variation in scrims is is not uncommon. So that very well could be the case. But Vikla also just got rank one in solo queue. Mm-hmm. So they're, I mean, at the very least, they should be able to roll some sixes and win some games. You know, they shouldn't have all zeros.
Everyone,
they
should, take not, a solo
they should get
carry.
A win. They should get a win. Like, if some of their scrims are blasts, you know, some of their, like, they clearly have some positives here still. And it is actually crazy how unsuccessful they're being.
Well, you're not the only one who still believes in them. Chris Gracer. Grasser says,
FlyQuest. Do I still believe in them?
You just said this. FlyQuest will finish above Golden Guardians in the regular season.
I just said that.
You and this guy on Twitter both just said the same thing.
Same thing. I heard it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I don't think so because I think they're just like too far behind. Already four games back, and I think Golden Guardians is looking good. I don't think they're finishing above them. I will say though, this team has such a crazy amount of talent. I still believe that. I still believe that these players are individually really, really good. I could not tell you what is going wrong. The only thing I can guess from the outside is when something is this bad on stage, is there has to be some internal problems, whether it's disagreements between the players or a coach and the players or whatever it is, something external is affecting what is happening in-game because it just doesn't make sense that they suck this much. It just doesn't. Spica has been so good on so many teams. You know, like Prince was incredible last split during the regular season. Vulcan has been so good on a bunch of different teams. Impact, I think, is still being solid. The one kind of like non-surprise for me is Vikla because I was not super sold on him. But I thought that even if Vikla had an up and down split like he did in spring, I thought they would still be a top two team, even with him not playing amazing. And I thought if he stepped up and was consistent, I think they could win the split, right? So I will say, if they can fix whatever the hell is happening to this team behind the scenes or whatever the heck is kind of, you know, stopping them from being successful on stage, they could all of a sudden, you know, get it all together and this team could easily go to Worlds, right? Because top eight make playoffs, so it honestly doesn't matter what position they finish in regular season. As long as they are top eight and they have fixed their issues going into the playoffs, this team will be a threat. But that's the question, because the longer that goes on and the more bad games you have, that is hard on the mental.
The way this team is supposed to play on paper is very easy to lay out. They've got Impact in the top lane and Prince in the bottom lane. That is a perfect map setup to be able to play down to bot lane, successful carry, but their situation is even worse than 100 Thieves, where not only do they have problems with mid jungle, but then Prince, who's supposed to be the win con, is also turned into a problem somehow.
He's
by adding Vulcan. And Vulcan is supposed to be one of our best. A lot of people for many splits have said best support. And you're just like, what is supposed to be our win con is a problem.
I mean,
I'm going all over the place. Everyone's looking at each other like, What?
Vulcan has been in the LCS over the last probably, what, 3-4 years?
Yeah, I mean,
comfortable saying that.
It's crazy that they can't find a playstyle that works, because like Spica and Vulcan should group up and do something. Either go bot to Prince or like work around Vikla, but like everyone's just so disconnected and just making tons of individual mistakes. Like that was one of the things I talked about in the one of the analyst test segments, was just being like, this is not like strategy when you mess up
getting
like this.
Getting 2v2 killed randomly. And
getting
2v2 like
killed, people just not flashing, just not going in for abilities, missing abilities. It's
God, yeah. Spica's death at Gromp, but when like Someday came in, was it Someday?
He just didn't flash.
He just like stood there hitting the Gromp and didn't even get the Gromp.
And then he doesn't even get the Gromp. He dies, no flash, doesn't get Gromp.
Yeah, I mean, that was from week one, but like the point stands that they're just not playing well, and like I don't know why. It's just, but
it's weird.
It's, when you talk about, like, we're like, NRG needs to step up. All these teams need to step up. Like, FlyQuest needs to find a play style, and they need to step up.
Yeah, I mean,
they need to wake up.
They're
first.
Dead last.
Wake up,
they
step up.
They haven't won a single game. Second last has two games. You know, like, the second last team is two games
ahead
of them. Well,
that's why this week is, like, make or break for me. Because even if you go 1-2, but a bunch of the other teams do as well or something, like, you're not gaining ground. So it's you do have to leapfrog over two more teams now. And if you don't start actually ripping wins off and you just stay, like, a 33% win rate team the rest of the season, you're not going to climb over anyone.
Yep, and I'm getting all caps repeated rap in the
Azale is what it says in the...
It does not. That is a lie. Elias wants us to rap. He's going to get in trouble, so we're going to wrap it up. That'll wrap it up for us for now. And remember, if you're watching us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of The Dive. You can also check us out on Spotify. We are on YouTube. We're on Apple Podcasts, Anchor.fm, and continue sending us the questions. When you send us questions, you got to use hashtag TheDiveLOL. That is what we search for when we search for the questions. LCS Summer Split continues this Wednesday, June 28th. It's TSM versus EG. Games kick off 2 p.m. PST. We'll see you there, and we will see you on Thursday
birthday.
For the Dive TriCast, the birthday TriCast here. Game 3, TSM Dig on Thursday. It's going to be a banger. See you then.